What does that mean? I seek refuge from you by you. That means I seek refuge from your punishment by your mercy. By obtaining what will provide you this. Meaning to the worship. And it is the same in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, لا منجا ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. There is no anywhere to go for sheltering or survive or refuge from you, from your punishment, except to you. The whole world is yours. Where to run? And understanding these two things very well, this will make your heart cut all the relations with other than Allah and will keep it only with Allah. Completely. And then you would submit to the feeling, hoping, love of Allah. And that is the meaning of the hadith which is reported by Bukhari on the Torah of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما المسلم ورسل المسلم من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The real Muslim is the one whom the other Muslims are not bothered and harmed by his tongue and his hands. والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه. And the one who migrates, yani the muhajir, the migrator, the real one, is the one who migrates and abandons what Allah Ta'ala forbade for him. That is the muhajir. And then we supplicated for the muhajirin and supplicated for the brothers in Palestine. May Allah Ta'ala provide them victory and sustenance. آمين والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد باب الكسر إن regard to the خطبة بهجرة. نعم عبد الله. If the person comes from the West to the Muslim land, from the non-Muslim land to the Muslim land, with the intention of migrating. First of all, we say that one person, except with two conditions altogether. One is that he is able to perform a hijrah, which as we said today it is not possible, except in a very narrow space that you can move. The second, that in his land he cannot worship Allah freely. So these two conditions. And I'm afraid that hijrah become a desire and a style that people want to, what people want to do. That's it. As we said, if these two conditions are there, then the person has to migrate. If one, which is for example, abilities available, but but at the same time he is capable to perform all worship there in the land of Kufr, then it is not obligatory, but it is recommendable. So in one of these two cases, if he migrated based on one of these two, whether it is obligatory or recommended, then he cannot return back. asked to go and settle there. But if he wants to go back to finish his education or to do some business or to give da'wah and return back or to renew the iqamah if needed, then that is okay, acceptable. But I'm afraid that this takes another route. As I saw from many, they go back and then they say, oh, we have some difficulties, we have some problem here, some problem there, the family here, this there, and these all, Allah knows best, are only excuses that they are giving to stay there. And this because of that they lost to see again the moral life that they see there. Or the wizard that they lived in. So it is very sensitive, very, very sensitive. And we have to know that it is exactly like praying. No one can judge you that you are showing off or you are praying seriously for Allah except Allah in the day of rejection. So this thing is the same thing. Today no one can judge you for your hijab. So we have to be careful of that. And I advise the one who migrated already, if he needs to go back and study, today they have the remote study. You can do it from there. But unfortunately I hear from some of them say that education system here is lower than the education system in the UK, so he wants to take his children to the UK for a better education. We say this is wrong. This is not permissible. You still can have them if you want. You still can have them study in the British school here, which is almost exactly like there. But still we don't recommend it. Because you migrated to live in an Islamic form. And now you don't want to go and take your children to the same exercise you have, run Islamic form and then come Islamic form. This is... And if you would think that to take them there to study for working and sustenance is from Allah alone. It's not from anyone else. It's only from Allah. So if you leave that for Allah, Allah will provide you which is better. No. It is to the obligatory worship of Allah that every Muslim has to do. Salah, fasting. Now, Adhan is not obligatory for every Muslim to do. But they still claim for it. As you know, that in some countries, the Adhan is outside.
And we know that, for example, in America itself, in some places in America, in some parts of America, the Adhan is called outside. And I saw it myself in Trinidad. Yes, it's not in all Trinidad, but in some places it is there. And I assume that the Muslims there are not willing to bring it out, because I saw it in many other places in Trinidad, for example. And no one said nothing. Now, Allah has. Now, that is, as we said, with the two conditions. He is capable, and he cannot worship. He cannot worship his Lord there. But if he is not able to migrate, خلاص. Ibn Abbas did not migrate, he was in Mecca. And he said, this ayah of Surah An-Nisa is for me and my mother and people like us. Alhamdulillah, at this time, Allah Ta'ala gave the people of this time a lot of chances, a lot of opportunities. Today, in many Muslim countries, you, as European citizen, or American citizen, or Western citizen, you can have, you can own your land today. You can own your property. Even here in Saudi Arabia, which is the most difficult place. To do the requirements, and that's it. And that's it. So if you do the requirements, then you'll be allowed. And in some other places, they don't even need any requirement from you. You just come and buy the land or the house and stay. They welcome you. Like, for example, in Egypt, in Morocco, and many other places, they welcome you. They welcome you. But the problem is, and I tell you something, in Pakistan, for example, or Bangladesh, no one would object you. But the thing is, the style of life there is not good. I don't want to live with these people, poor people. That's a problem. Seriously, that is the problem. We're looking for wonderful weather, comfortable life. This is not what the Sahaba chased. They left everything. Suhaib al-Rumi, when he left Mecca, he buried his money somewhere in Mecca. And the kuffar chased him. And they said to him, you came to Mecca very poor. Now you cannot go out of Mecca with our money. It's not their money, he worked for it. It's his money. But they said to him that. He said to them, look, you know that I'm the best one amongst you who can shoot well. And if you don't go away, I will shoot you. And if you want the money, you go find it in so and so place. Dig there, you'll find the money there. He could have told them a lie. But he told him the truth, because this is not the thing in their mind. They are migrating for Allah. That's it. Finish. So, that is the answer to this question. Here is the question from the sister side saying, is it permissible to boycott Israel and American products? Is it permissible to boycott anybody's products? Up to you. It's up to you. And I'm sure that you, some products in the market that you don't like to take. So it's up to you. But if you mean to take it publicly, now this is related to the rulers. This is related to the rulers. But if individuals want to boycott, I have never ever been questioned by any supermarket management why I don't buy this product. I always prefer certain quality of a certain brand of milk. I never ever had any question, why don't you take this other brand? Up to me, I'm free. But when it comes publicly, no. This, as in the hadith, this is to the rulers. Because there are, okay, the rulers know what agreements they have with those countries. For example, if you allow our economy to come to our products to come to your land, we will, let's say, let's assume, we will support you in such and such committee. Or for example, and I'm giving example only, this is not to be declared to the people. So, what is, if it is publicly, we leave it for the rulers. Now the rulers are Umar ibn Khattab or whoever, don't come to me now to that point and say, but the rulers are not exercising Islam. I would say, you also are not exercising Islam, I should be. And I'm sure I can get from everyone something that he opposes Islam in. None. Yes, it's okay. It's still okay, and inshallah Allah rewards you for that. But what we say that when it comes as a strike, as a public, you know, that is a different thing. That is a different thing. And if you base on it the brotherhood and not, oh, Faisal buys this product, American product, I don't talk to him. I advise him, he didn't listen, boycott him. That's bad. And we saw like these examples. That is bad. Now, here it continues to say, also, is it wrong to shop from shops which are known to support the Israel forces? Wallah, if it is proof that they support Israel forces, it's obligatory to boycott them. It's obligatory. If it is proof, but how can they prove it? I keep hearing, saying this and that. If it is proof, there's no problem. But I'm afraid that, for example, we hear, at one time, somebody brought a list of products that it has fake fat. And I said, SubhanAllah, how come they knew? And it seems that it is a company or a group of companies who produce same products, but they want to drop these products because the market is wide for them. So I said, SubhanAllah, how can they prove it? And it is not authentic. It's only a piece of paper or in the internet. This is not the way to deal with these issues. But if it is proof, then yes. As well as, I prefer to buy from the shops that supports the Muslims. condemnation to Muslims, I prefer to go for that. I'm not showing for that, and we are not making anyone unhappy, and whoever is unhappy, to the hell, I don't care. Whoever he is in the world. Because we see one of the biggest powers, openly they say they support Israel, so what's the problem that I don't support Muslims? What wrong I'm making now? Allah Musta'an. But the problem is, we have two things. We have people who are too bold, and they speak of wrong. Just because they are bold. Oh, I say, I can't say, I can't speak. That's not like that. And we have people who are called, what do you call that? Called? Called? Coward. And people who are coward. Oh, don't say that, don't say that. MSA will angry, will get angry. Or so and so will get angry. Let them get angry, I don't care. I did not say anything wrong. And if they say that you have to live in an emulation way, I don't want this life. Come and kill me, no problem. I don't want this life. We should not continue to either be bold and speak of the wrong and evil, and encourage people to destroy and this and that, and no, this is not the way. This is not the way. Neither we get too covered and always only wipe the shoes. That's not the way. You are a man, I'm a man. What's different? Now, you want to live and I want to live. What's different? Nah. Let me tell you something. Do those countries treat people based on their nationalities or based on their religions? Can you answer it? Meaning, if the Muslims in the East do anything against them, does that reflect on the Muslims in their countries in the East? Or not? I tell you yes, it does. So they are treating people based on their religions. Although they say freedom and democracy, it's only saying. Allah Musta'an. Life is only beautiful when you see death. Believe me. Don't be so coward, brothers. Life is only beautiful when you see death. Before you see death, it's not that beautiful. See, if you are in a car and driving so fast, and accidentally one of your tires explodes or blown, and your car turn over and over and over, and you realize that you are dead already, and then it stops, and you come out of it. Alhamdulillah. There, believe me, because I've gone through this. I've gone through this not only once, and many times, with electricity, with car a couple of times, and sea, and in air. I've been through it. Believe me, wallahi, by Allah, every time I see the value of life. How beautiful it is. But when you see death, so don't get afraid of death. But I don't mean to go on, as I said, too bold we don't want, too coward we don't want. We want people who go logically. And we have to take the lessons from the Sunnah, from the Bible of Rasulullah. In Mecca, Rasulullah did not kill nobody. Nobody. And don't make me wrong, even in Medina, he killed nobody. Without war and battle, he did not kill nobody. Wallahi, akhwan, if anybody tells you other than that, he is a liar. And spit in his face. Rasulullah was sent for mercy. He wasn't sent for killing. So he only killed the battle. And even in the battle, he did not like to begin with killing. And that's what he told Ali radiallahu anhu when he gave him the flag, making him the leader of the group going to the Jew, who done what they done. The boys in Rasulullah, they broke the oath and obligation to them. They had agreement with the atheists and others to fight him. But although they did all that, he told Ali radiallahu anhu, go slowly. What does that mean? Why he said to him, go slowly? Usually when you send army and you want them to fight people, you would want from them to go fast, so they approach them suddenly. He said, go slowly. Why? Because when they march, people hear and see, and they will tell them, oh, be careful, the Muslims coming. So those people get ready and be careful, subhanAllah. See how beautiful Islam. And he told them, when you come to their land, don't begin fighting. Like if they were, mashallah, very good people. But they were not, and they are not. They were not and they are not. And don't make me wrong, not all the Yahud. Even today we see Yahud who are with the truth. They are not supporting this, what they call this, Zayuni. Sizist? Zionist. Zionist government in the land of the occupied land of Palestine. We see Yahud in America objecting what, wallahi, in Israel, in that land where they call it Israel, with no right to call it Israel. In that land we saw many people, thousands came out objecting what they're doing. So, I mean, it does not mean to go and kill when you object or when you are not coward. But also, when you don't object, it does not mean you be coward and just bow. Now that's, both are wrong. Both are wrong. Wallahu a'lam. طيب, should we take anything until the food comes? اليوم ما في عربي. اقرأ لنا. Let's finish the عشان نجي للتجهيز الميت. No. أخي nobody today. We have too much food. Eat and then go. تفضل.
Which is other than the shirk, the thing that Allah Ta'ala joined to his rights, which is being grateful to your parents. And warning is warning from being ungrateful to your parents. And Allah Ta'ala joined to his right, the right of the parents to be grateful to them. As what Allah Ta'ala said, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And your Lord are commanded to not to worship but Him and to be grateful to your parents. And in the hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith agreed upon, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ قَالُوا بَلَى يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قال الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وكان متكئا فجلس وقال شهادة الزور ألا وقول الزور شهادة الزور. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the Sahaba, did I not tell you about the major sins? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, tell us. He then said, الشرك بالله, association with Allah, anything in worship, or in worship. وعقوق الوالدين, be ungrateful to your parents. So, being ungrateful to your parents is joined or put in the second level of the major sins, right after the shirk. As grateful, being grateful to your parents is put right after the Allah Ta'ala. And in the other hadith reported by Al-Hakim, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة عاق. عاق is the one who is ungrateful, unkind, unkind to his parents. The one who disobeys his parents, the one who displeases them, this person is not going to enter the Jannah. وَلَا مَنَّان. مَنَّان is the one who gives sadaqah, and later on he says, oh, I gave so and so sadaqah. I gave him this. No?
ولا مدمن خمر. And even the one who drinks khamr regularly. But it is not the person who drank it for once, but continues drinking khamr until he dies. ولا مؤمن بسحر. And the one who believes in magic. What does that mean? Should we disbelieve in magic? No, believe in magic. Get use of it. That is the meaning. Otherwise, if you don't believe in magic, this is kufr. This is kufr itself. So, believe in magic is kufr, disbelieve is kufr, what is that? No, we say, disbelief in magic, meaning denying that there is magic, there is jinn, there is magicians, that is kufr. Believing in it as it can work by itself, not by the permission of Allah, and believing in it as you go and get use of it, this is kufr. This is kufr. And in the other hadith reported by Imam al-Nasa'i, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْعَاقَ لِوَالِدِهِ. And this is very dangerous. He is cursing the one. He's supplicating. He said, oh Allah, curse the one who disobeys parents, who is not grateful to his parents. So from there we have to understand that this is something different. As I know, many brothers do not care of their parents. Do not care. They are very kind to their brothers, to their friends, but they are not kind to their parents, rather to their families, wives and children. But outside, mashallah, they are, everyone is, mashallah, but in the house, they are different people. And in the hadith, agreed upon, the Prophet ﷺ one day was climbing the minbar and he was here saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen in the three steps of the minbar. So after the khutbah, the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you were saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen while climbing the minbar. What for? He said, Jibreel came to me and he said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ امْرِئٍ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ أدرك رمضان ولم يغفر له. قل آمين فقلت آمين. He, the one who finds Ramadan with no excuse to not to fast, and he doesn't fast, then his nose is put in the soil, and this means he is humiliated with the punishment. With the punishment. Say Ameen. The Prophet said Ameen. So now the one who is supplicating is Jibreel. And the one who is confirming supplication by saying Ameen is Muhammad. And then he said, رَغِمَ أَنْكُمْ رِئِنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدَهُمَا وَلَمْ يُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ قُلْ آمِينَ فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ. And second step he said, Jibreel said to the Prophet ﷺ, he, the one who finds both of his parents or one of them, and they do not take him to the Jannah, to the paradise. What does that mean? He is ungrateful to them, so they were angry, so Allah Ta'ala prevents him from Jannah. He could not please them, Allah is pleased, and then Allah Ta'ala takes him to the Jannah. Say Ameen, the Prophet said Ameen. And the third said, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ قُلْ آمِينَ فَقُلْتُ آمِينَ اللهم صلِّ وسلم على نبينا محمد. And in the last step, Jibreel said to the Prophet ﷺ, he, the one who you are mentioned by, and he does not send salah, peace and blessings upon you, his nose is to be pushed into the soil. Say Ameen. The Prophet said Ameen. So, we have to be grateful to our parents. And we have to understand that this is one way to the Jannah. Even if the parents or one of them are kuffar, we still need to be grateful to them, as Allah Ta'ala commanded, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا بِالدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. So Allah Ta'ala told us, even if the parents or one of them are not Muslim and they fight you to join them in their shirk, you don't take very harsh position. You just don't obey them in that. But in all other things, you obey them and be kind with them and be grateful to them. So we have to be grateful to our parents. We have to be kind to them. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who follow what they listen. Allahu A'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Na'am. Well, the curse of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ falls on him. If he doesn't repent before he dies, it is very dangerous for him. Because the Prophet ﷺ supplicated, he said, Oh Allah, curse the one. Huh? The one what? He's disobedient. The one who is disobedient. If the one who is disobedient, the Prophet is cursing him. What about who hits them? Of course, this one is not even going to smell the smell of the Jannah. He's not going to find the smell of the Jannah. Allah understand. Now. Meaning, he's not going to, if he dies on that, with our repentance, he's not going to get to the Jannah with our punishment. With our punishment. And if he has sins, these sins are not going to be forgiven, even minor sins. Are not going to be forgiven. Are going to accumulate to push him into the fire. And the ulama say all the hadith where the Prophet say La'an Allah and like that, he's not going to get to the Jannah. They say the apparent meaning is not meant by that. But it is only to threaten them. Now, wallahu a'lam. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.